The following is a recording of the Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. We are located in Collegeville, Pennsylvania. We are also located on the web at www.tpuuf.org. Please come visit us.
This is a different feel with the tables. As you come in today, pick up an orange. If you haven't, that's okay, you can get one later. Don't eat it, not yet. And through the first part of our service, I want you to pay special attention to your orange. If you're at home at Zoom, feel free to go grab a piece of produce or fruit, something which you have a couple of, and you just take one of them that you can hold with you. So as you're doing this, as we're listening to our prelude, yeah, grab an orange. Take some time to get to know it. Spend time looking at the bumps, the imperfections, the colors. And as you're becoming present with your fruit, let us also become present here with this reminder in our prelude to let it be.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Let it be, whisper words of wisdom, let it be.
We are here to abet creation and to witness to it, to notice each other's beautiful face and complex nature, so that creation need not play to an empty house. We are here to abet creation and to witness to it. Creation, which is you, which is me, which is the relationships in this building, which is our oranges that we have. If you missed the intro, or if you don't have an orange, grab an orange now. The call is to be present with your orange. If you're at home, grab a piece of produce, piece of fruit, something you have multiple of. Don't eat your orange. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Be present with it. Look at the bumps, the imperfections. Feel it. See what you notice. I want you to get to know your individual orange very, very well. Get to know your orange. Did you think you'd hear that phrase today? You'd be like, oh, you know what Andrew's going to talk about? I'm Reverend Andrew Weber, and I'm so honored to be here in this community as one of the many ministers of Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I'm happy to be here this time of wonder, this time of challenge, a time of being present with ourselves, being present with each other, being present with our oranges, being present with this community. Ours is a religion of variety, of comfort, of challenge. Welcome to all of you. Welcome to all of you ministers in this shared faith, in this faith which holds us accountable to our own highest ideals, which holds us accountable to our own most difficult aspirations. Today we have a responsive reading to help call us to worship. You can find it in the hymnal at 439. The hymnals are with the oranges, so if you want a hymnal, just go head on back. The words will also be on the screen for this reading and for all the hymns. So read with me these words from Unitarian religious educator Sophia Lyon Falls. I'm going to start in the first voice. We gather in reverence before the wonder of life. The wonder of being together, so close and yet so apart. Each listening, each trying to speak. Yet we gather in reverence before all intangible things that eyes see not, nor ears can detect. Each Sunday we light the chalice, symbol of our free faith, this flaming chalice. The flaming chalice was first used, and I occasionally will say this just as a reminder, it was first used as a symbol in Nazi Germany for people fleeing oppression and violence, looking for hope, looking for safety. Currently resembles and symbolizes many, many things. The warmth of community, the flame of hope, the light of reason, whatever you hold as most dear and most valuable for Unitarian Universalism is held in this chalice. Acknowledging that plurality of this symbol and the plurality of our faith, we light our chalice. And today, we kindle more flames. If you're here in December, you will see this often, in recognition both of our Judeo-Christian heritage as a faith and to uphold and recognize the spectrum of belief held in our community. I'm lighting, for the second Sunday in Advent, two candles on the Advent wreath. The first purple candle for the hope of this season. And the second purple candle for peace, a wish for peace. Each Sunday, this congregation, we light an additional flame, striving for peace in our hearts, striving for peace in the world. And as we light our peace lamp, I welcome you to read the responsive words on the screen. May peace be with us. Please rise in body or in spirit for singing of our gathering hymn number 347. The lyrics are in the hymnal, if you need a hymnal, again in the back or on the screen. And while you are singing, so you can be walking around, that's okay. While you're singing, when you're ready, when you know your orange, put it back in the basket or put it in a little pile on your table. You can join tables. We can walk around. That's okay. If you feel very comfortable, if you're like, I know my orange, go for the basket. There'll be more in there. If you're like, I'm pretty sure, then make a little pile on your table. But when you're ready, as we're singing, put your orange back. Please join with me.
Trials in this light.
So here's where we get to the crux of the activity today. You're like, oh my gosh, can I remember my orange? I'm going to ask you all in just a moment to attempt to find your individual orange again. Oh, hold on. But hold on. They all look the same, right? Well, hopefully you spent some time. You were present with that orange. This is an activity you can do again at home, or if you're at home, you can practice. You can come back to it. Right? I warned you to be present, but not that you're going to have to find it again. So in just a moment, remember the particular bumps, the bruises, the colors, the distinct shape or size. And as you search, be kind, right? With each other, be kind with the oranges, right? There may be some confusion. That's okay. So now, in kindness, go and try to find your orange. And maybe we can turn on the lights, actually. Okay. I'm going to talk a little bit as you're still finding your oranges. So what worked or what didn't work? Who was able to find their orange again? Great. Oh, okay. What helped?
Keeping it on the table.
Keeping it on the table, not following directions. Thanks, Mike. Distinctive characteristics. Anyone else? Follow your heart. Wow. With an orange. I like it. Yeah. Was anyone having difficulty? They're still paying attention to the oranges if they're having difficulties. Did anyone debate? It's like, oh no, that's my orange. No, that's mine. Did someone take your orange? Maybe that's still happening. So as you're finding your orange, I have a couple more questions. You got it. You got it. Where are some other places in your life where you bring this sort of attention? Where are some places in your life already where you bring this attentiveness to detail?
Finding your car.
Finding your car. Yes. Getting dressed in the morning. Cooking.
My job.
Picking up my kids. Selecting vegetables. Maybe you already do this when you're at the supermarket. What places in your life Do you do the opposite of this?
Vegging in front of the TV.
Vegging in front of the TV. It could actually be the same thing, like getting dressed in the morning. I mean, like, it could be the same answer for different. What else? Do you have no attentiveness? Just
getting a shower.
On the phone? Oh, scrolling on the phone, yeah. Yeah. Sleep? Well, yes. Yes. Here's my charge, my call for you, is to remember your orange. You can keep it with you. If you want to now, feel free. You're at a table. Napkins went around. Feel free to eat it. You can also, if you want to be like, I'm going to level up, put it back in the basket. At the potluck, try to find it again. More oranges. More time has passed. You may put it back. You may hold on to it. But let us now sing. And I've made sure that this slide works. If you were here the last time I preached, the slide did not work. We got it. Thank you, tech guys. To sing a recessional hymn, and you may pick the lyric you wish. It's a theological decision for you.
Go in peace. Go now in peace. May the love of God surround you every.
Like that? Oh, that's when a plan comes together right there. Most people stayed. Wonderful. We're going to talk about presence or presence. Yeah, here, look at this. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's it. I'm done. You know, that's all I got. No, ministry is a very, very strange job, and I'll get into a little bit more of that, but doing PowerPoint also is part of ministry, right? Who would have thought that? I didn't have a class on PowerPoint. Now, I have a reading today, and I don't always have a reading, and I think actually because of that, I completely forgot the slide, so I tell you often that I will make mistakes, and I will live fully into that. And the reading I'm sharing today is from our Soul Matters Worship Resources from December 2016. As a congregation, we subscribe to a sort of clearinghouse of worship information, of religious education information called Soul Matters. And they pick a theme each month. Actually, we, as a congregation, as religious leaders, sometimes vote on that theme. If you want input, let me know. They'll be picking in, I think, in the summer. They pick themes. They put together resources so that we have somewhere to go rather than just like preach on life, on anything. It's like, okay, December, presence. What does it mean to be a community of presence? Sometimes they overlap. 8 years ago, it was also presence. And this reading is from that worship packet from 8 years ago. It's a little background. Spiritually, presence can mean two radically different things. On one hand, contemplatives talk about being present. Presence from this perspective is all about awareness and remembering to live in the moment. On the other hand, theologians tend to come to presence from the perspective of otherness. Their concern is not just that we pay attention to the present moment, but that we notice a transcendent presence that is woven through all moments. This month, we refuse to take sides. Attentiveness or otherness? Who says we have to choose? Isn't it true that more often than not, they dance together more than they compete? Isn't it true that when we are most present, a powerful presence emerges? Pay attention to your child, and slowly a confidence and unique self unfolds. Pay attention to the flow of your breathing or the flow of the ocean, and something bigger than yourself enters the scene. Look for a long time at a singular tree, and eventually it presents itself to you as a world unto itself. The underlying message here is that the world is full of unnoticed gifts and grace. It's a message perfectly fit for this month that so often celebrates presence, spelled P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, over presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. S-C-E-N-C-E. In the face of commercials and billboards that tell us our lives will finally be complete if we stuff them with a few more shiny objects or plastic gadgets, our spiritual traditions come along and remind us that our lives are already complete. Their message, the greatest gift of the holidays, is noticing the many gifts that we have that have been sitting here the whole time. So how will you engage with this dance? What powerful and meaningful presence is waiting for you to be present to it? What gift is waiting and wanting to emerge? What will your awareness bring into this month? Now, as I said, and as I exampled, that's not a word, showed, ministry is a very strange job. Especially in Unitarian Universalism. Like, sure, I preach, right? I mean, you all see that. But there's more to clergy than public speaking. And even the preaching is varied and diverse. Ministry can include speaking truth to power, teaching, being a social witness, community organizing, and more. And for me, ministry is walking with people, walking with communities as we strive to live into our best selves. My multifaceted calling means witnessing to the question of the service today, seeing both presence and presence. And as these words have the same spelling and the same pronunciation, if you know, I like etymology, they're homophones and homographs. Check that out. Homophones and homographs. But they have two distinct meanings, as we heard in the reading, right? Presence can mean I'm here. I'm mindful in the current moment. I'm present here now with you. Presence can also convey the idea of something else, something more. There is a presence in the room. And as Unitarian Universalists, our view on what this might be is quite varied. A sense of community, a fellowship of free thinkers, a divine being, a spirit of love, the natural world. These can be that presence, that transcendent, goes beyond each of us. And I feel like ministry sort of elevates both of these. It should be elevating both of these. If any of you read theology, which I don't put past you, there's a theologian, Karl Barth, who was really well known at the seminary I went to. He's Presbyterian. And he would say, the need of ministers to hold the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other. That's ministry. Now I translate what he said through my lens of there not being many newspapers and Unitarian Universalism, which doesn't just look at the Bible. So I approach life with my Unitarian Universalist values of universal worthiness in one hand and awareness of what's going on in the world in the other. That's my Bible and my newspaper. Karl Barth and I are doing the same thing, being present with daily life while witnessing to something larger than ourselves. And as you know, I love applied theology. I love like lived out religion. So like, yeah, we talk, okay, you're just talking about theology. Like, give me examples. Like, okay, great, I got you. I got some examples here. The other, if you read the newsletter article, you may know this first one. The other week, I was in my office, and I come here on Thursdays generally to get some writing done, to have meetings in person if people want to come in. I'm usually here on Thursdays. And to have some time, because not many people are here, some time when I can get work done. I'm just going to write. I'm going to do some reading. And a few weeks ago, I was sitting here in the office on Thursday, and I heard from outside, I heard like a thud and then whimpering and crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, what was that? And so I looked out the window and a dog had been hit in the street, just right out by the sign. And two cars pulled over and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, how terrible. And so I went out to see what, if anything, I could do. And albeit varied, ministry does not include any veterinary training, right? So I had very little to offer. Now, thankfully, the dog, Annabelle, was alive, and one of the drivers had called the owner. And if you own a pet, make sure that your name, number, contact information is on a collar, because they were able to call the dog's owner. And Annabelle lives just through the woods. You can probably see her house, like right through the woods. She had gone underneath or around a fence, we're not really sure how, and got into the street. And so when our neighbor drove over to get her dog, I asked, like, what can I do? Can I help? And she said, yeah, help pick up Annabelle and get in the car with her. I'm like, great, sure, yes. And like, and can you stay with her and keep her calm on the way to the emergency vet? I'm like, yeah, okay, absolutely. And so I stayed in the car, kept her calm. We went to the vet, and I stayed with her owner. And I was with her for some time as we got the diagnosis of it was a broken foreleg. Thankfully, that was it. Yeah. So the morning was spent in a much more important way than writing newsletter articles. And that was my ministry. It was being present. It was being present with someone who was in need of a calm and caring presence. That, my friends, was ministry. Also not included in seminary. It was not included. And there's more. There's always more, right? There's always more. About a week ago, a good friend of mine texted me. His wife was just diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. His wife and him are about my age. They have 2 teenage children. Wanted me to come over and talk. I have no medical training, right? I have no secret words that make things go away. I have no rituals that like, oh, here, do this, and like everyone will be happy and it'll be cured. So we sat and we talked. We talked about life and death, family schedules, work, talked about death some more. We talked for a few hours until I had to go get my kids off the bus, until they had a Zoom work meeting starting, right? Life goes on, even sometimes when we want it to stop. Once again, I was called to be present with someone who could use a caring and calm presence. That's ministry. So what do these stories, what do the stories of my work, my personal life have to do with getting to know an orange? That's the question. Like, where is he going with this? It's all related. Presence is taking mindfulness quite seriously. It's consciously being aware of unique identities, compositions of everything, everyone with which we interact, right? The practice is the same. It's consciousness, it's mindfulness. The difference is whether the practice is aimed toward ourselves. If I'm going to go meditate or run or pray or be with myself, if I'm going to be with someone else, if I'm going to be with an object, an orange, a tree, a feeling. Being mindful with ourselves, being mindful with each other, being mindful with the world around us puts us in touch with something larger than ourselves. Right? When I'm conscious of the uniqueness and the commonplaceness of any bit of the world, I start to experience a transcending mystery and a wonder. Now, what do I mean when I say transcending mystery? I touched on it a little bit, and the cool thing about Unitarian Universalism is like the transcending mystery means something different to us all. I spent the morning with a stranger of a hurt dog, and we became friends, meeting again over tea and life stories. We witnessed to, we created the transcending mystery, the divine as life and as love. The lives that we share as humans, other animals, plants, the entire world as a living and changing entity, and the interactions and love between them. That, for me, that's the God I believe in, right? I view the divine as a verb, as a relational concept, both embodying and transcending everything. I love quoting Martin Buber, and you might have heard this before, but Martin Buber, Jewish theologian, said, when two people relate to each other authentically and humanly, God is the electricity that surges between them. God is the electricity that surges between me and our neighbor. The electricity that surges between me and my dear friend, family going through a difficult medical journey. When I talk about the divine or an outside presence, I'm speaking of this electricity that surges between us, right? That can surge between you and someone else, between you and me, when you truly and fully are yourself, when you're truly and fully present with someone else, with an object, with a group, with a community. From the author Henry Miller, the moment one gives close attention to anything, even a blade of grass, it becomes a mysterious, awesome, indescribably magnificent world in itself. Who here feels a special kinship to their orange? I mean, I do. It's weird. Like, what is that? What kinship to your orange? Like, I do. I do, and I'm going to, you know, later today or during the potluck, I'm going to try to find my orange, and none of you better take it. Right, that's it. The orange has become a magnificent world of itself. I can't explain it, but I feel that truth. I feel it here, not here necessarily. The moment one gives close attention to anything, even a blade of grass, it becomes a mysterious, indescribable world in itself. That's the witnessing to, that's the creating of the transcending mystery and wonder, the divine, the holy God, a presence, right? One practice of being mindful and of giving awareness to the world helps create that deepest meaning. We do this by being truly, fully ourselves, being with each other, being with the natural, the created world. So the answer to the question, presence or presence, is both. Be present and feel the presence. Be the presence, really. Which brings me to this beloved community. Again, I keep coming back to this community, this fellowship of faith, this fellowship of faiths, right? We practice shared ministry. So when I say that ministry is a really weird and strange job, I'm not talking just about me. We practice shared ministry. This is for all of you, too. Right? It includes preaching sermons, writing newsletter articles, but it includes walking outside to meet random people in need. And that goes for you, too. That goes for you. That's your ministry. I have no special insight. I have no spiritual authority, but I do have the practice, the impetus to guide and to walk with all of you. We each have our own valuable insights. We each have our own spiritual authority. The varied ministry of presence is your ministry too. Your spiritual work is not just to come here with your full selves. It's not just to show up authentically. That's a big part. That's a huge part. Coming to this space authentically, with vulnerability, that's the comfort we provide. Come as you are. Do you remember the obverse of coming with authenticity? I've said it. I haven't phrased it that way, but like, if that's the comfort of come as you are, what's the challenge? The person next to you is doing the same thing, right? They're coming with themselves. They're coming, as we hope, authentically themselves. And we need to do this in community. We're not a bunch of individuals. We're a community too. That's the other side of comfort. With this free faith brings us the challenge to do so in community. I come with my authenticity, with my personal beliefs, while allowing, tolerating, possibly even affirming and supporting those around me who are being their authentic selves. That's our covenant, to be kind even when, especially when we have differences of opinion, differences of belief, differences of action. Now, I have to be truthful here. We don't always meet that challenge. We don't. We aren't always loving or caring in our actions with whom we disagree. This is a universal admonition to everyone. This is a personal admonition. This is a communal admonition. Yeah. People outside of our community act with anger and spite. I hope that's not a surprise, but it happens. I let my baggage get in the way of me being present with someone else in love. Thomas Paine Unitarian Universalist Fellowship has some growing edges. Someone takes the orange that we know is ours. A member talks too much or too little. A policy is decided upon that goes against what my view of this community is. What do we do? How do we react? Is the electricity of the divine surging between me and the person who always does something which annoys me? Hold on to that for a little. Right? And it's getting real here. In the past few months, there have been a number of people, a number of members who have approached me with concerns that they no longer feel welcome here. Beloved members of our community are taking breaks, either attending another spiritual gathering, staying home, sometimes in tears, or attending us more indirectly via Zoom or recordings. Yeah. I don't know how many others have similar feelings and have either dropped and departed without saying anything, or who are here holding on to that discomfort. Yeah, this is getting real. We need to take some time to look at ourselves. Now, the time frame for these specific complaints that I'm talking about is roughly coinciding with the presidential election. But the feedback is not all about whom we're voting for or whom we did vote for or not. The concern is about how we show our care. And I'm preaching to everyone, myself included. When one person has a concern, it may just be that individual. When two, three more people voice similar issues, well, maybe we need to take note. We talk about being open, affirming, love-promoting, difference-celebrating community. Are we? Now, if you're feeling defensive or reactionary from what I'm saying, that's okay. Just stop for a moment. Because I would like nothing better than to say that this hurt is ill-founded, it's unbiased. But whatever has happened, the truth is that there are people who feel hurt and unwelcome enough that they have left. Right? So we need to hear that truth. We need to respond to it. And in general, from these people, the feeling is that we are not welcoming to those who are different from us in a somewhat political sense. I welcome the feedback, and I see how what I said around the election could have been off-putting. So what about you? Either as individuals or as a gathering, we can give off the idea that if you aren't liberal politically, you're not welcome here. This is in the side remarks. It's in the grumblings or rumblings or groans. This is not even all from people who would vote right-leaning politically, right? It's not that people who are conservative don't feel welcome. It's more a sensitivity to an ambiance of exclusion. And that's the reason I want to say something, and I am saying something. It's not that we're all left to right. It's like, no. People actually do not feel included here. And it's given me some really tough times of introspection and self-examination. Where in my services have I promoted exclusion or non-acceptance, especially through this election season? And so I encourage every one of you as a community, as individuals, even if you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just a visitor. What is happening in this community? We are a healthy religious community. Part of that health is looking at ourselves and going, where can we be better, right? That's part of the health. So even if this is your first time, take a look at yourself too in your lives. When you're here, when you're not here. Look at yourself with humility, with love. And before you come to me, please come to the potluck. But before you approach me and say, like, I want specific examples, what happened? Because that's not going to help. That's not going to help. Right? Take a look at yourself, where you may have lived outside of our covenant, or where you may have lived outside of your best self of kindness and openness. Now, one caveat, there are many. One is, we do not have to be so open that we have no values, that anything goes, and we are accepting and supporting of everyone. Oh, that's a challenge too, right? No, there are limits of acceptance, which we are bound to by the same agreement which now holds us in challenge. If you cannot agree to walk in kindness and in care with other people, then you are not welcome here. That's that challenge. Oh my gosh, how do we get from looking deeply at produce to this painful introspection? Like, where was that line? And more importantly, what do we do now? Well, it's all related. It's all related. And more importantly, yeah, this is our work. What do we do? What we are constantly called to do. We do what we are constantly called to do each and every day, especially here and then outside of here when we go into the wider world. Be present. Create a divine presence of care. The presence within ourselves to know when we need to listen, when we need to be humble. The presence to know when to reach out and say something to someone who is not being loving. Oh. The presence with other people to be responsive to take in the difficult love of accountability. Please tell me when I make mistakes. With love, but tell me. All the while creating, sustaining something larger than ourselves, all the while being the spark of the divine between us, witnessed to in our relationships. I have no, again, no special advice or like trick other than what I've said before. Be present with one another. Step back for a moment, breathe, then remember your curiosity, your humility. Be present with yourself. Be present with each other in a way that they can be their true selves and not just fit into some preconceived notion that we might have. It's only in this way that we can begin to repair the relationships which have been broken. We can begin to repair the holy which has been ignored. We can begin to repair the presence which we have failed to manifest in some parts of our lives. For when we are truly and fully present, we create something transcendent beyond our existence, a mystery greater than ourselves and greater than our understanding. Go out there. This is my charge. Go out there and go out there, here, right? Live. Create the spark of the divine in your relationships and your connections. Go out and see where you might be falling short and strive for humility, strive for grace. And see how a relationship might be mended or improved. So let us create the divine presence with our presence. Let us all embody that moment when we choose to give close attention to something, to someone, to some reality, such that it becomes a mysterious, indescribable world in itself. Amen and amen. Please join me again in singing. We sing right after the sermon to give you time to reflect, to let the words sort of settle down and to move a little. So if you wish to rise, rise in body or in spirit for number 34, though I may speak with bravest fire.
Speak with bravest fire, and have the gift to all inspire.
Hi, I'm Nikki. I'm a member of the CARE team here at TPUF, and once a month we remind you what that is. When we set aside time to listen to each other, we do it mindfully and with intention. We are also intentional about who introduces our time of sharing. Each week, a different member of the CARE team steps up to hold this sacred space for our community. The CARE team is a group of TPUF members and friends who work closely with Reverend Andrew to ensure our community's caring needs are being met. Our purpose is to support each other when we are in need. The CARE team can provide a listening ear and caring presence. As we provide care to this community, we also rely on it as much of our work as coordinating. We can help to facilitate meal delivery and transportation. We also can refer out to community resources. Whatever the need, the CARE team can provide a loving presence and guide. So you can email, you can text Reverend Andrew, and you can identify any of us with these awesome buttons that Phil Manos made all of us. So that's the CARE team. Please let us know if you need additional help. And now it's matters of the heart. We are a fellowship, a community with friendship and relationship at its heart. We hold love and care for each other as the burning ember of our purpose. We embody the importance of care for each other every week as we set aside time for sharing the matters of our hearts. If you have a sorrow or joy which overflows into this beloved community, I invite you to come forward and share briefly into the microphone. Those of you online can raise your hand and you will be unmuted if you wish to share. As a reminder, please start with your name.
So we will bring this time of sharing to a close. We'll sing Spirit of Life. The lyrics and video will show up on your screens here in just a second.
To a close, I wanted to share a reflection which has two points about being present for me. One is laughter, because we can think in my head, oh, that's funny, or you can press a little emoji, but nothing is more fun than actually laughing with other people. And also perspective, which can change everything. So this takes a little bit of demonstration, but so this is Embraced by Billy Collins, and you have to imagine this. You know the parlor trick. Wrap your arms around your own body, and from the back, it looks like someone is embracing you. Their hands grasping your shirt, their fingernails teasing your neck. From the front, it is another story. You never looked so alone. You crossed elbows and screwy grin. You could be waiting for a tailor to fit you with a straitjacket, one that would hold you really tight.
If you didn't get the hint yet, we have a potluck today. You're sitting at tables. I've mentioned it. I'm sure someone will say it again in our announcements. Please stay. Whether you've brought something or not, you have at least yourself and an orange. So come. Come. We close our time today with the song, Now Let Us Sing. The lyrics will be on the screen and in the hymnal 368. Extinguish our chalices, I mean, for safety, for logistics. We know that these flames go on in our lives, the flames of hope and peace, the sanctuary within our hearts that we create for others. I extinguish these flames with the words from Sarah Morris Campbell. We receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight. Let us gather them up for the precious gifts that they are, and renewed by their grace, move boldly into the unknown. Amen, and blessed be.